Let's just talk about a few things about Ella. For some reason, the Darshi Rishumis, there's a school of thought that Jim is not so much into, called the Darshi Rishumis. Those are the ones who pay attention to acronyms, to gematria, to the hints and allusions that are found throughout the Torah. For some reason, El grabbed a lot of attention in that camp. So there's a lot of people looking for clues. Now, when do you have that? Rosh Hashanah, you have much less, because it's very clear as to what the theme of Rosh Hashanah is. Although, fellas, I challenge any one of you to find early sources for the fact that Rosh Hashanah is the Day of Judgment. Everybody takes it for granted. Rosh Hashanah is the Day of Judgment. Okay, I challenge you. Find me.
Where do we get this?
Okay, go ahead. Do some research. Come back tomorrow with some answers.
No Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah, you can use whatever you want.
There's a lot of
now, Elul is even more vague as far as says who. Like, where does this concept come from that El is a particular Zman of Tshuva? Now, it's interesting that in given circles, there is a particular stream of thought that follows. To, for instance, in the writings of the Baal HaTanya, he has a maimer on Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, which is one of the earliest of the psukim that darshan where Elul is found in Shir HaShirim, in the Song of Songs, written by King Solomon, this love song between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there the pasuk says, Ani L'doidi, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me, and the acronym there is in the correct order, Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. Okay? But you have something as simple as Lule Soroscha Shashuai Ozavadati Bani. David HaMelech says, were it not for your Torah, I'd be lost. Lule is the same letters as Elul, right? So there are numerous places, and there's some of them are really, really riveting, fascinating. You know, we could go through all of Elul, and each day I could give you a different one of these. Maybe we should do that as an intro to the day, just to show you another allusion to it. Tell. But he talks there about a very interesting thing, and I questioned my father about this in Colorado. Baal HaTanya writes there that this is a parable to a king who, when you want to get to visit the king, when the king is in the palace, you got to make an appointment. And no, not just any commoner can go see the king. You have to be a person who holds an office. You got to be a minister. You got to have you got to have some kind of portfolio to go see the king. But when the king goes out into the countryside to visit his subjects, it's much easier to approach the king. He calls it Melech Asada, the king in the fields, the king in the wilderness. And he writes there, this is the first Rebbe of Chabad, he writes there that the Melech Basada, the concept of Elul, is that rather than on Rosh Hashanah when the king is in the palace and the fear factor is at its height and the people are trembling and the shofar is sounding and it's a day of judgment when people are quaking in their boots. During Elul, the affect is a completely different affect. The king is out in the field greeting his subjects with a smile, drawing people in. So it's almost an opposite affect. Whereas Rosh Hashanah is terror, Elul is love. But the objective of the love is to draw the person in so that the person will understand what's coming. So it's not, God forbid, two different kings. It's the same king playing the role of the loving father, drawing us in, having us recognize, due to the love, how we've gone off. That's the goal. The goal is if you don't have a concept as to who we're dealing with, can't do tshuva. Who did we rebel against? Right? There's no, you can't do tshuva unless you recognize that there's a being there. So I asked my father, I think we learned this together, we were talking about the 3 weeks Kol Reidfeah Hisigua Beinam Tzarim when we were learning Eicha. So one of the psukim there says, all those who chased her were able to attain her, were able to acquire to chase her between the boundaries, meaning Shechinas and Gullus. Shechinas and Gullus, she's accessible. I remember the marshal that the Kajan Tzemagid gave was that the there was a person loyal to the king, and the king's running from his enemies, and the person has the opportunity to host the king for dinner. He has no gold, he has no silver, he has no trappings of malchus, of kingdom. And the guy's dying inside for the plight of the king, that the king needs to be by him. On the other hand, no greater privilege for him than the fact that the king's eating dinner in his house. So outwardly, he has to show his sense of privilege, and inside, he's dying for the king.
But isn't that a whole idea of, like, you know, galus, like nistaros, everything's hidden, one wouldn't know it's the king? Isn't that the whole...
Yeah, but we're supposed to know that it's the king, despite that, right? So I said to my father, what's the difference between Elul, when the king is out in the fields, and during the 3 weeks when the king is being hosted by his subjects also outside of the palace? Both cases, the king is outside of the palace. So he answered the obvious, which is, there's a big difference between a king who's being pursued by his enemies and is running for his life, and a king whose palace is very much intact, but makes a choice to go out and reach out to his subjects in love. Right. There's a big difference in every aspect of it. During the 3 weeks, yes, the king is accessible, but it's an access of pain. During Elul, it's a king who's out there because he wants to be out there greeting us.
So where's the king then between the 3 weeks?
Right, and Elul.
Right now he's out up in the mountains or the beach.
It's in Colorado looking for oxygen.
Good morning.
Agit, you have the Yochanan check? We never gave it to you.
I never asked. I told him to keep it, to give it to you, please.
Okay.
That has to go to Shiloh.
Maria Saad. Fascinating character. You know that Bob Hirschman's wife is a descendant of Maria Saad. One of the most fascinating things about him, he sounds like a Sephardi. Maria Saad, he was not a Sephardi. He was
That's so disappointing. I always saw him as a Sephardi.
Right. Everybody always thinks he's a Sephardi.
How did he say the name?
Maria. It should be pronounced Maria Osa. There's something like that. So he sounds. But anyway, Maria Saad was his. He was a disciple of Chaim Sofer. He was a poor man. Awesome Talmud Chacham, wrote all kinds of works on all kinds of things. And he left behind a family with little children who had yet to be married off. And there was no money. So two of his balabatim were, how shall we say, not the finest, brightest minds. They decided that they had to undertake to marry off these children, and that if they were able to sell a picture of the rabbi, they'd be able to marry off these kids. But the problem was the rabbi was dead. They propped him up on a chair.
We said, how dead was he at this point? I mean, like a while or
8 years?
No, it was right after,
right after the
before the burial. Wow. They propped him up and took a photo of him.
Yeah.
The two guys did not survive very long. Now, Maria Saad says that the acronym for Elul, quoting a Chazal, is Ahuv Lemaila Benechmad lemata. He is beloved above and is cherished below. Now, Yisrael Salanter, the great Bal Musar. This is how I read this. You're all welcome to have your own insight into what this means, but I believe that this is what he was on to. Yisrael Salanter went over to a guy named Kippur. This fellow was taking tshuva very seriously. It was intense like that, angry, bitter. And Rabbi Sol Salanta went over to him after Kol Nidre and said to him, just because you sinned, I don't have to suffer. Like, brighten up, buddy.
This is going to sound weird, but shouldn't we be joyous at the same time?
So that's what I think he's pointing to. He's saying the very fact that Hashem gives us an opportunity to do tshuva should lead a person to a pleasantness, not to a sourness and a roughness and a grouchy disposition. But Elul is Ahuv Lemaila, Jew boy, God loves you. Be nechben lamata. Be pleasant to other people. And many of our greats in the past said that there is a simon, if you want to know where somebody's holding with their relationship with the Almighty, see how they treat other Jews. The language in Yiddish that they use, val oibmat lib de tata, hopman lib de kint. If you love the father, you love the child. So don't give me these business about these Jews who are so intensely in love with God, but when it comes to helping another Jew, they throw eggs or worse, dirty diapers. Amot leave the tata, Otman leave the kint. If you love the father, you love the child. So that's the perspective of Elul is Ahuv lemaila v'nechmad lemata. But he said,
no.
But if, however, that's right. If, however, we don't take advantage of Elul, says Maria Saad, then the acronym becomes, again, quoting a pasuk, "Oy loiv oy lenafshei, woe to him and woe to his soul." It's also an acronym for Elul. All right. Just another interesting observation because it goes back to some of the other parashas we're learning. Last week, we read in Moshe Rabbeinu's review of the events. Moshe Rabbeinu comments about Dasam and Avirim. And reading the text, it really doesn't... It doesn't belong, and he completely omits Korach. He doesn't mention Korach being lost. It's just Dasam and Avirim that he mentions there. So, he brings here really... What I thought was a very interesting perspective on the results of when the wicked get punished, and that there is a merit for their neshamas. There is a redemption. When people see that people are held accountable, and you know, it's like the old lightning bolt story, like, you know, don't sit next to me because after you say something like that, I'm afraid that you're going to get struck down. Well, where something like that does happen, when you see there's tales about several of the Gedolei Yisrael, especially pertaining to husbands who refuse to give their wife a get, and they snub their nose. You know, the Beis Din Paskin, they need to give a get, and they said, you know, tough luck, I'm not doing it. And the Rabbanu said to them, look, you have two choices. The Mishnah says that a woman can become free with a get, or a death certificate. So they said to the guy, you have 24 hours to make the decision. Of course, these guys mocked the Rabbonim. Well, there was just a story now in you know, again, talking about the modern Israel, but the editor of one of the leftist papers made her, became prominent by exposing scandals. There are people who just have a schmeck for, they love scandals. And she worked her way to the top through these scandals. One of her favorite targets, of course, was the Haredi Tzibur, because they're very easy to target with scandals because they're constantly doing stupid things. That's enough, Goldberg. So, one of the things that she wanted to expose was the whole
foreskin.
Not the foreskin. That's fine. I love the foreskin thing. The unforeskin, the poor women who can't get a get. And then those rabbis don't let them remarry instead of nullifying the marriages. Well, in order to get her story really up there, she decided to pose as an aguna, and she went into one of the top Sephardic poskim and laid down a story of agony and torture, that her husband had gone on a mission with the Israeli army into enemy territory, and that a bomb went off, but that the rest of the chevra didn't actually see him die, but he hasn't been heard from in 3 years, and they've been waiting for information. They can't get any information. Here she's alone, she has a little girl, and she can't remarry, and she just laid out this horrific, heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching story. And this, they don't name who the gadol was, I don't know who the rabbi was, but he's sitting and weeping with her, and she's recording, right? She knows that she can't remarry based on the information she has, because there were no witnesses. And she's got it made. I mean, she goes and exposes the story. This guy looks like the world's greatest cruel brute, right? She finishes her whole story, and he says, I need 48 hours. So she was devastated, because she really wanted to go to the press with this right away, but what should he do? The next night, her husband died in his sleep.
Her actual husband.
So she had no problem remarrying. Be careful who you set up with. So, no puns intended. Heard you said? A mess. A mess in Hebrew is a dead body.
That's good. I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just...
Intuitively brilliant. He's yeah. Just got it in him.
Wow.
Anyway.
Kind of egg's more like a mess. Don't make it.
So, one of the things that we find is that the master of the world rewards us not only by our actions, but by the ripple effect of our actions. So if you create a shtender, and somebody takes that shtender and learns Torah in Colorado, you have a chelik in that Torah, because you made their Torah learning easier. Right? If you leave behind the child, and that child says Kaddish and learns Mishnayos, and so that's the whole concept of Kaddish and Mishnayos and so on. So it doesn't end here. It continues on. And there's numerous ways you see that people establish these chesed organizations, and they do all these things in order to create a legacy. I told somebody that where was I?
Colorado.
No, it was in the Catskills Shabbos. So I told somebody on the pasuk, again, we say it every day, and it's so embarrassing when you see these things, like, oh, I never thought of that. L'man yirbu yameichem, we say in the Shema. L'man yirbu yameichem yameivenechem. In order to increase the days and the days of your children, Allah adama asher nishbash al v'sachem, upon the land that Hashem promised your forefathers, kimei hashamayim al ha'arz, like the days of heaven on earth. What do those words mean?
Heaven on earth?
Kimei Hashemayim Alos, like the days of heaven on earth. So Shiel the Belza said that Hashem, in his ultimate kindness, wanted us to be able to eternally collect points. So he says that we get credit in heaven for all the ripple effects that continue to go on long after we're gone. Kimei Hashemayim, even though we're living a heavenly existence, al aretz, but what's the after effect? What's the lingering after effect that's going on earth? We're still collecting points. Dasim and Aviram, in contrast to Korach, their children and their rechush, the Torah tells us that not only their children, but all of their possessions went down with them. Why was that necessary? This is good money. There were good eggs there. Right? Why did Dasim and Aviram's rechush, why did their possessions need to go into the abyss with them? Because ultimately, the difference between Korach, whose children survived and did tshuva, whose money survived and went on to do good things, Korach has redemption. Korach's descendants become Asisa. Korach's descendants are Shmuel HaNavi, right? And his children.
Not so much.
There's nothing left to them. Hashem took them, their possessions, their wealth, everything gone. Because Dasim and Aviram were there only for the purpose of creating dissidents of Achlaikas. Korach, Vinishvi, Korach had some yearning to want to connect. So this takes us back to this pasuk here. Achas Sha'alti Me'es Hashem Oisavakish. We're going to say throughout El, each and every day, twice a day. There's one thing that I ask from Hashem. I have to read it upside down. Achas Sha'alti Me'es Hashem Oisavakish. I ask of you, Hashem, one thing. And that's what I'm going to request. Shivti Beves Hashem Kol Yimechaya. I should dwell in the house of God all the days of my life. Vaches b'nayim Hashem, to see the Swedish Vakeh b'cholai, and to visit in his name. What's he saying? It's like this. We're going to come upon now the month of Tishrei. And throughout the month of Tishrei, we come to Hashem with a long list of stuff. Zachreinu l'chaim, v'lachavetz b'chaim. We want b'sefer chaim, panosa, health, all kinds of things we're coming with. But underlying all those things, there's one request. And we say, we drill this for a month before we start the month of Tishrei. And that is, as Julius used to say, there's a story behind. A Jew doesn't need money, just to have money. A Jew doesn't need life, just to have life. A Jew doesn't need health, just to have health. There's achas sha'alti. There's one thing that underlies everything we're going to do in the month of Tishrei. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yimechai. Rebbein Shlom, I have one request. I want to dwell. I want to be in your house. I want to be a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't do it without help. I can't do it without money. I can't do it without all the basic needs that a Jew needs to be able to be a servant of the Almighty. So we start a month ahead of time, lest we get lost in the details of the request. Because it's very easy to get lost in the myriad of details. It's even easy to get lost in Hamelach, because we can proclaim him as king without being his servant.
How does that work?
He's king, but I'll let somebody else do the work.
Are we a servant?
That's what he's saying. Achas Sha'alti Me'es Hashem. We got to make sure that when we cry HaMelech, that we are saying he's Melech, and I'm a servant. All right, we will continue tomorrow. We'll do a few more days of the David, and then we'll move on to some of the text of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and so on.